Hi guys, welcome back to our mini-series, Man, Why?, where we explore, the species of men. So this is the last episode of Man, Why?, and in the next episode of Just Know Red, maybe we can move on to some other topics. Mm-hmm. But for this last episode, first of all, I have Wynn with me here.
Hi.
As usual.
Yeah.
And today we're going to talk about calling people out in relation with feminism. Mm-hmm. Because I think this is a really important part of our activism.
Right.
I mean, sharing Instagram slides. It's part of it. It's a big part of it. But we also need to call people out in real life, especially our friends, family members. And we do have some interesting stories to tell.
Right.
And I think this is something that a lot of us struggle with, calling people out. Do we do it or not? Like, do I have the mental stability to do this or not? Should I do it or not? Do I have to? Right. And in this episode, we're going to answer all that. Well, we're no experts, so we don't claim to have all the answers, but
right,
it's all in the attempt, we're going to try.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a try.
Yeah. Give it a try. And mm-hmm. I know like this series is about feminism, but I think we're just going to talk about calling people out in general, but of course we're going to focus on being a feminist as well. But I think like when it comes to defensive people, the response is pretty much the same regardless of what topic we're addressing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it's kind of frustrating. Like the question here is that, is it worth it to call them out when they're like, they care more about themselves than the topic that we're addressing?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so before jumping in, I have to say, first of all, in this episode, we are going to shift the focus away from the called out and more on the callers, let's say. Mm-hmm. Because I think, as activists or as people who advocate for a cause, it's more important that you take care of yourself first before extending an olive tree branch to other people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I really struggle with in the past few years, because whenever I call someone out, it's more about our relationship, about our relationship, mm-hmm. than about me, right?
Yeah.
I think, and over time, I think that has got to change.
Yeah.
I think, being selfless is very noble thing.
Yeah.
Not here to be noble. I'm not here to be noble. I'm just here to do my job, to make a world a better place.
Oh my God.
To find things that can be fixed and try to fix them,
Yeah.
And it should be me that I should care about first, right?
Yeah.
So that is the caveat for this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so, we're not saints. Like we said in the last episode, it's not our responsibility. It's to convert the other person to our side, because that's not our job. That's their job to do. They have to do the education themselves. They have to do, the enlightenment themselves. Like, we're not here for that. We're here to, let's say, quote unquote, guide them. In a way, or just to let them know that there are things that they can improve on. But mm-hmm. we it's not our job to, you know, convert them. And I think in the past, both you and me really kind of like, I think we got, let's say, passionate about it, like regardless of what
topic. Involved.
Yeah, we were so involved, and like we were very like emotionally involved too.
Right.
Yeah, we are very sensitive and emotional people, and I think like we really cared about the other person feelings. Like we try to make them feel uncomfortable. We try to make them feel like, oh, we're not confronting them. We're just letting them know and letting them, you know, understand the topic more without being aggressive. But at the same time, I think we kind of neglected that they don't give a fuck about us, and they kind of just, they kind of just like, yeah, they just went on their way and being an asshole. And we, I think the saddest thing is, like, I think we try to justify that, or at least find an excuse to understand their reaction, and like, oh, and you know, I get it. It's you know, they're having a hard time. They're a man, like whatever. Like we try to justify that to keep the relationship, because honestly, like you've said, it's hard to like being in a relationship, whether it's romantic or not, with someone, but that person doesn't carry the same moral value as you are. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, as activists, you know, it's very easy to be sucked down to that vortex of being too involved or too passionate for a cause.
Right.
And when you feel like you're so passionate about it, it can really mess with your mental health and with your relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times when we talk about calling out someone, we talk about why we do it, how we do it. But we don't talk about, do we need to?
Yeah.
What about, why do we need to care about the people we're calling out more than ourselves?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, empathy has always been very core to my activism.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a line where if you cross it, it's over, you know? Like,
yeah.
And as a person who, I would say, empathetic, more empathetic, it's really easy to be emotionally destroyed or drained by this type of activism, because calling out is mentally exhausting.
Right.
It's emotionally exhausting, intellectually exhausting, and mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not as easy as, you know, reposting, sharing an Instagram slide. Mm-hmm. And it is for a reason, because you have to invest so much in this. And when it comes to, it really depends, because like you can call out like a stranger, but calling out your family member or your dad, your mom, is something very different. And it can consume your entire energy. And, you know, I like to think of, you know, your mental energy or emotional energy, it's kind of like a jug of water, right? You only have like this limited amount of water to share to other people. And if you choose to do the calling out, that's a lot of water. That's a lot of energy you're spending on this one person.
Right.
that might, you know, really affect your mentally. And today we want to talk about that rather than, you know, why we're doing the calling out, why it's important and whatnot. So first of all, I want to talk about what you need to prepare yourself for before calling people out. So first of all, I'm not expert, but I do have, I did have some experience in this.
Oh my God. And I very unfortunate experience.
And I, the number one advice I'm going to give you is to think about yourself first. Think about yourself first. And also the person that you're calling out, you need to consider the relationship between you and this person.
Right.
Is it worth it? Is it a relationship that you value in life? That add value to your life? Because if it's not, then why are you wasting your energy on this?
I wouldn't say wasting though, because like, for example, if it's like a stranger on the bus, but that person is like open, you know, like that person is not defensive and you're calling them out on something and they like accepting that, then I think that would be worth it. But like, oh, at the same time, that is very unlikely.
You play, you're literally playing a game, a guessing game. There's like, you know, 7% chance that they would not change their opinion about any of this. And there's like also 70% chance they would get defensive and attack you, whether physically or emotionally. And I know, you know, saying this makes you sound, make me sound like a bad activist, or a bad feminist in this case. But, you know, you don't have to call people out. You don't necessarily need to do that. There are ways you can support feminism and support the victim without calling the person out. For example, if it's like some like 6-foot guy and he's, I don't know, he can bit shit out of me, I would not do that. Because there is a chance that I would get beaten up. So for, let's take that for example, like let's say some 6-foot guy, very aggressive, is yelling at some, let's say, gay guy on the bus. First of all, you need to consider the relationship, right? Like, this is a stranger. You're not losing anything emotionally. Emotionally, you don't really lose anything, but you might get physically hurt. Okay, so second of all, is it necessary? Is it necessary? And is it impossible? Because it's not always is necessary or possible. But if someone is like that aggressive to a gay man on the bus, and I think it is very necessary for me to stand up to say this is not okay. But I can, the reason I can do that is because I'm a girl, and a guy I think would less likely to be willing to punch me in public.
Thank God.
There's that. So there are a lot of things to consider, right? So in that specific scenario, I would actually do that. But if you are not, you know, in my case, you can do other things. First of all, you can call for help, call asking some other people to stand up for you, right? You can call some hotline, you can, you talk to the victim, you know, after the aggressor is gone, you can come and say that, oh my God, I'm so sorry this happened to you. I'm so sorry, I could not confront him for you.
But I do think,
I
like,
I'd love to say that I do not agree with that. And I think you need to, and he needs to be, I don't know,
Yeah, but
it was something like that. And I think that can actually be very effective because, you know, as someone who's been bullied, I think like if someone comes to me and say, oh my God, although I cannot help you in that moment, I can accompany you right now emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that can be real powerful.
Yeah. But I do think that if having someone to stand up for you in that moment and call that person out, it's mm-hmm. incredibly powerful. I think that's the best thing that could ever happen.
Yes.
With my experience of being bullied. I think that like it's always much easier to come later and say some, you know, to give that person some sense of comfort. But it is the moment that you stand up for someone that like touched them the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. But usually I think when it comes to calling out people, usually it's people that you are close with. So
mm-hmm.
it's your family or your friends, because I think people get that like, you know, just like a stranger that was sitting next to you on the bus and have like a random conversation with you, it's not worth it to spend the time and energy and trying to educate them. But with family and friends, you want to keep that relationship, right? And you cannot grow, the relationship cannot grow if you are not on the same page when it comes to something that you're passionate about, say feminism or racism or homophobia. Like, it's hard to be, we can be on good terms, just, you know, superficially, but deep down mm-hmm. the relationship cannot grow if you two, you see that person as like sexist, like that's I don't want to be friends with that person. Family is, yeah. You know, family is incredibly tricky because like you're going to see them, you're going to have that relationship whether you want it or not.
Yeah.
Speaking of family, here's the tea. My family fight, like my parents fight a lot. It's like a freaking war in my family. Like every single week there's a new fight, and like it's so stupid every single time. But I mean, thank God I'm not living with them now, so I don't see it in person, but like they still call me and complain about it anyways. And I notice a lot of the time the conflict happens not because they were that they can't agree on the same thing. They totally can. It's because the way they talk and the way they express themselves stems from like misogyny and sexism. Like my dad would say, like, you know, my mom cannot decide on quote unquote big things, or like, oh, he's the man of this family, so like he needs the power, so like my mom cannot control him because that would make him lose the power and people would not look up to him. And my mom would be like, just like, but anyways, just, it's tricky with my mom. Yeah, because like I feel like, you know, she is a way being oppressed, obviously. But at the same time, she kind of, you know, the misogyny really gets her. Like she agrees that, you know, she agrees that my dad is superior. He has that power. And yeah, and she would never stand up for herself because she agrees that her, you know, her role is to take care of the family, not to take care of herself. And like, he's, yeah, anyways, that's the fight. And every single time I call them out, they say that feminism is too Western, it's too new, it's like young people can do that, or you can do it in like America or Europe, but not here in Vietnam, because traditionally, in Vietnam, the woman has to be this way, the man has to be this way. And it's just like, yeah, it's hard. Like, I know like none of the thing I said really gets to them. Like, they don't accept that because they think it's something foreign, when in fact it's not. Which is kind of sad. Yeah.
I mean, I get, I do understand your mom, because, accepting, the concept of patriarchy, accepting that you are being oppressed, is basically engaging in a fight, engaging in a combat. And that's actually more work than, just being a woman in Vietnam, in traditional Vietnamese culture. And that can be like actually more difficult for a lot of people, because you have to learn about so many things, and you have to take responsibility, a lot of responsibility. And a lot of people just are not ready to do that. But at the same time, it makes me really sad, because just how much, our life has been conditioned and have been destroyed by this system called patriarchy. And it's all the more even sadder that people don't take a stance against this, especially young people.
And it's sad to see the consequences on my mom. And like, when I try to, let her see what's the problem, is she refused to be liberated.
Okay, so speaking of calling people out, did you call your mom and your dad out, and how did that go?
Oh, it was terrible. It was a terrible thing, because I think like it was also bad timing, because they were fighting, so like there's a lot of anger already built up inside. So when I talk about like, oh, dad, do you think like it's necessary for you to feel that sense of superiority? Or like, I told me that like, why do you think like a man has to be this way? And he doesn't answer the question. He just say, oh, you don't understand, because you're like a girl, and you're not
Wow.
in Vietnam right now. And
Misogyny 101.
yeah, and which is really sad, because my dad, I would say I love him, and he's like a decent husband, but it just makes me his image growing up is kind of like, my hero, like the person that would protect me. But he failed me once. If you've listened to like our past experience episode, you would know he failed me once, when I was young. But I was like, oh, shit happens, it's fine. But now, since I know about feminism, I think like he disappoints me more and more, and it's makes me really sad, because I really want to keep the same level of respect that I have, but I can't respect a sexist. Like, you're my dad, I love you, but that is not okay. Yeah, it's hard to address him when it comes to this kind of topic. And also, when it comes to my mom, she's like, oh my God, you like I too Western, I did not send you to the US for you to learn this. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm sorry, but it already happened. And I think I would eventually learn about it, even if I didn't go to the US.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, because I speak English, and like we have access to a lot of material about these progressive movement, if you speak English.
Yeah, even it's amazing now because we have like amazing organizations and groups and communities now, which is definitely a good thing.
Definitely a good thing. It's
Okay,
like,
so what was the reactions you have received from not just your dad and your mom, but the people that you call out in general? So from what I gather, your dad is very defensive and he's not even engaging with your ideas, like not even engaged with your he doesn't engage with your criticism of him. But what about your friends? Like, have you ever had like an argument with your friends or like people of your age?
You're my age. I think usually they kind of brush it off with like cracking some unrelated jokes to avoid, because I like the moment I talk about it, like I can feel that they are not comfortable, like that they feel unease, that they're doing something inappropriate or wrong, and like they crack a joke to avoid it, or like their attitude wouldn't be super defensive because obviously because we're friends, they don't feel any sense of superiority from me, and vice versa. So they don't get super defensive, but the attitude is like kind of like nonchalant, like they don't really care enough. So they crack a joke to avoid it, or like they try to deviate the conversation into something else that is like light hearted, like what's the new song, or like what's the new trend on TikTok, like that.
Really? Wow. Okay, so that was some odd, experience you had. I'm so sorry that happened to you, especially with your mom and dad. For my part, I think the defensive response is very common. It's super common
Even with young
because when you criticize somebody, they feel like they have done something wrong. And if there's one thing that human beings hate, it's being wrong. Because being wrong is, I don't know, humiliated or something. Which I understand. But sometimes people get too defensive and they got lost in the debate. It's not about the cause anymore. It's more about them. It's more about their trauma. It's about their experience. It's about their yeah, it's about the what's going on in their head. It's about their emotions. I think that is usually what happens when I call people out. So remember when we remember last year when we call someone out. Someone in our friend group out because of let's say problematic behaviors in relation with Black Lives Matter. Well, Black Lives Matter movement. Wow, what is wrong with my English today? And let's just say that things went ugly very quickly
True.
because with this person, they is that I'm complete. Okay, so first of all, I'm a very non-confrontational person. So when a person don't agree with me, I'm just like, okay, fine. Like even if it's like super atrocious, I'm
Yeah,
like,
it
okay,
hurts you a
fine.
little though. You die a little bit
It
inside.
hurts me a bit, but okay, fine.
Yeah.
But I would not get like aggressive about this. I would never get aggressive about it. I would never get defensive, never get aggressive about this. And
Yeah.
I don't come to debate, quote unquote debate, to convert anybody, right? But with our friend, it's more like about if these two bitches called me out, that is an insult on my intellect. And my person, so I need to do something about this. I need to prove to them that they are wrong, that I am right, and I need to place myself in a superiority position. And I think that's so toxic. And I think that's very, it's not very constructive way to approach things. And with people like that, I think you need to be realistic and pragmatic about this. If you want to keep the relationship on a friendly term, maybe avoid that person. Or because, you know, first of all, I can talk more about this, you know, beef, but I don't think it's that necessary. I think I should place more importance on, you know, the caller, not called out. And when you are in this position, it is very vulnerable. It is a very vulnerable situation. And you have to make a choice between, you know, being on good terms with somebody and standing up to something. So, but looking back, probably I would not, I would actually prefer not to stand up against that person, because first of all, is not something the, I'm so sorry, but the Black Lives Matter movement does not touches, does not touch anyone that I know in real life. In a significant manner, in a significant way, like at all.
They treat so it even as, though as if it it's is,
even though it is a core belief of mine, and it is a movement that I fully support. It is, let's say, I feel less inclined to invest and to bet everything that I have, including the relationship I have with people, for, you know, just speaking out, calling someone out like that. I would not bet everything on that. And second of all, I don't have the mental energy to spend on people that I know I cannot persuade. People that I know is gonna, is impossible to make them change their behavior, to make them apologize for their behavior. And I guess the first mistake I made was, how to say this, like estimating the situation, you know. I don't think, because at first I think, I really think that I could do something, that I could do, I could make a change. But a lot of the time, it's not possible. And even though, you know, standing up for someone, standing up for a cause is so important, you need to play it kind of smart. You know what I mean? Especially when you don't, you're not like a billionaire on top of millions of people, but you need to play it smart.
Well, the beef, we ended up being traumatized from that experience, both of us, and we're not friends anymore with that group of people. I mean, or that specific person, but like, we're not as close anymore, let's say, with that group of people. And it's very awkward now. Like, we, I think like, it will never be the same. I think it's, it's ended with like, oh, it's a debate, like, for like education purpose. So of course, like, no one took it personally, but obviously everybody took it personally. And
and saying that, you know, framing, you know, Black lives as a debate is for me super humiliating and super problematic.
That, so
like, how can you do that
so
with someone's humanity? Like, it's not okay to have a debate.
Yeah,
it's not a debate.
Yeah,
and it's not okay to talk about it as a debate.
Not up for a debate. It's
yes.
Going, yeah, it's not about that. But it's kind of sad though. But I think it's for the better. And I think, like, you know, as the caller, like, if I think people get it wrong, like the called out get it wrong, that, you know, if you getting called out, then that person is insulting you in some way. But it's not. It's because we respect you, right? It's because we see that there's you have like the intellectual potential to understand that this movement is important, and like, you know, this is something progressive, and this is something that you want to, you know, do better on. That is because we respect you. Because if we didn't, then I would just let you go on your stupid ass way and like just continue to be ignorant, right? So yeah, I think that the defensive people gotta sort it out quick. It's not because I don't respect you, it's because I respect you. And also, like, one of the most popular reaction I get from like my friends or even family members is that when I call them out, they don't get super aggressive immediately. They will say, oh, you got me wrong, it's not what I meant, I meant something different. So they manage to explain something like very long and like make it sound like it was some nice things, but it's actually the same shitty thing. It's just misogyny in disguise of a long sentence. Okay, can we just don't do that? Like, please don't waste my time on that. Yeah, it's just so quick to like, they care more about justifying themselves than whether they're wrong or not. It doesn't matter whether they're wrong or not. They just want to be right, regardless.
Right, and it's very easy to test those people. Like the minute that you admit, oh, yeah, you're right, they would like get super cheery, you know, and they Yeah, and they would love it, and you can see like how much they love being right. It's not about them being stood. It's not about them learning anything. It's about they feeling attacked by your criticism and justifying their wrongdoing.
Right.
And it's really sad because, you know, when it comes to something like Black Lives Matter.
Yeah,
when you do that, you're basically telling Black people that your life is below my need to be reassured that I am right, to be reassured that I'm not wrong, that I'm don't have a responsibility.
Right,
and I think that is very harmful.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, just like put yourself first. I think just put yourself first. Like when you call someone out, like what's wrong with my mouth today? When you call someone out, put yourself first. Like, is this worth it?
Yeah. But like coincidentally, you know, the defensive response that we get are actually from men that we know in real life.
Right.
Yeah. So. That is telling, you know, it's telling something. There's a pattern.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it is a coincidence that all of our bad experience with calling people out have been with men.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And having said that, let's move to the second half of this episode and talk about men and what they have to do with this.
Yeah, you're right.
I think what men, when they are called out, they have like a few standard quote-unquote reactions. So the first one is, I don't have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
And of course, we're talking about feminism here. Mm-hmm. I don't have to do anything. I don't have anything to do with this. I don't whistle at women. I don't catcall women. I don't hit my mom. I don't hit my girlfriend. So I don't have to anything to do with this.
Yeah.
So how do you respond to that?
That is incredibly problematic, because, you know, that attitude that I don't have anything to do with this is the equivalent of not acknowledging that, like, that they have the responsibility, right? Because if they have that they have some part in the oppression of women,
yes,
means they have to be responsible for that. And I understand that it's not one person that created a system, and, you know, it's created a generation after generation, and we cannot undo the you know, the damage of those generation in a shorter period of time. But with this attitude, nothing can be done, right? Not one person creative, not just one person created a system, but, like, everyone has contributed, and not mostly men, but also women. They're like, we're women. I think it's because, like, you know, it's the consequence of being oppressed. That's shielded from liberation. Like,
internalized.
Yeah.
Misogyny, internalized. Sexism.
Yeah, but that, like, that's also, like, stem from men. So, like, I mean, I don't think they understand that it's not about whether, like, you know, how do I put this? Like, I think that it's the toxic male culture. They want to be good. They want to be good men, right? So they...
Are you talking about nice guy syndrome?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, if they just, if they admit that, you know, like, they have patriarchy, they, if they admit they have some part in that, they have, if they admit that they have some part in the oppression of women, that means they're not good. And that means, like, oh, then they are flawed, but they are actually nice guys. So, like, that's the hypocrite. They just can't see past being good. They really want to be good, but they don't want to do anything. They don't want to actually be good.
Yeah.
They talk about being good, but they don't do it.
Yeah, I understand you. I think it's the entitlement for me.
Yeah.
Like, when you tied, you know, being good and being the nice guy to your whole identity, with somebody criticize you for being, for example, sexist, you will feel being attacked, because, wait, nice people are not sexist. Good people are not sexist. Why are you calling me sexist? Are you calling me a bad person? Yeah. Are you calling me a horrible person? I am not a horrible person. You are wrong. And here's why. Yeah. You see the problem with this. This is what's called circular logic. And this kind of logic can be seen in, you know, guys who think they are nice guys, but when called out for problematic behaviors, especially sexism, homophobia, misogyny, they get defensive about it because they think they are a nice guy. And how dare you call me not nice? How dare you call me bad person? I open the door. I pay for the date. I do this, do that.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I think, like, I do understand where this comes from. I do understand where this comes from, right? It's not like I don't understand at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put your need to be validated as a good person over the oppression of the entire group,
right?
Can you say that is good? Can you say that's good?
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Can you really say that's good? right? You are not a nice person when you benefit from the oppression of women.
Yeah,
you have everything to do with this. You have everything to do with feminism. You have everything to do with patriarchy, sexism, yeah, misogyny, everything that women face.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing. And yeah, so don't you dare tell a woman that I don't have anything to do with this just because I don't hit my wife. I don't hit my girlfriend. I pay for the date. No, no, no is no.
Yeah, like, come on. Okay. You don't hit someone. That's like the bare minimum. Like, you're not really, you're not anything. Like, isn't it like obvious that you shouldn't hit your wife and your children? Like, come on. But do
I that. Know, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God. Yeah. Man.
Like, I just saw this thread on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's in French, but basically, it said, if you, a guy who has never whistled somebody, who's never catcalled somebody, who's never harassed somebody,
mm-hmm,
you are not a nice guy. You are a normal person.
Yeah.
That's it. Not exceptional, not mm-hmm good, not nice. You're just normal, behaving like normal people should.
Yeah.
So don't come to me and say you are nice, because do like the bare minimum. The bare minimum.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like,
first of all, like, why is the bar so low for men?
Right.
Can you explain that? How do you explain this? Patriarchy.
You're not nice for not doing something. You're supposedly nice because you do something, right? So, like, you're not harassing women. You're not hitting anybody. So, you're nice. Like, come on. Like, you're nice because you do something for other people. You do something for society. That's how a nice person should be. It's not because you didn't do something. So, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about feminism here, but this can be applied for every other kind of, every other cause. So, like, it's hilarious for me, like, when cisgender, heterosexual people think that they support the LGBTQIA+ mm-hmm because they let them live.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing to me. Like, you think you're a good person because you let us live? Like, come on.
Like, who do you think you are? Come on. It's just, oh. And also, I also think that's like saying that someone is a good person is kind of harmful, because people are really entitled to that, like, you mm-hmm know, that branding. And I think it's like, can we just say, like, this person want to be a good person, you know, want to be good, not because they are good. Because I think, like, putting wanting in here means that they put an effort. They try to do something to be good. And if you just brand someone as, like, good, then that means they cannot have flaws. Like, anything that is outside of the good box, it's forbidden.
I do understand you, but I think in the grand scheme of things, it's not super practical. I think it's okay for you to think that you are a good person.
Yeah.
But here is something a good person do. Listen and do better. How about that?
Yeah.
That's something that a good person do.
Yeah.
Good person don't get defensive
mm-hmm
and lash out at, you know, a woman explaining why, you know, you're being problematic.
Yeah.
They don't do that. Mm-hmm. Good person don't do that. So,
true.
I cannot believe I say this, but let humans allow to be humans. Let's just allow humans to be humans, and humans are flawed. So why don't we accept that? Why don't we embrace that and learn and do better? Yeah. Why don't we do that?
And I
instead of tie that goodness to your entire identity.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
I understand that everyone is like in, you know, at a different place in their journey. Like, and like, I think I would be able to forgive. Well, I don't know if saying forgive is too much, but I would be able to move past, you know, the conflict or the trauma that that person gave me. If they come back one day and tell me, oh, I was misbehaving that time, I apologize, I'm, you know, ashamed and embarrassed that I behaved that way. Yeah, I would be able to say that, you know, we can be friends again. But at the same time, that is very unlikely. That is like shooting for the stars here. I do not see that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You know, the sky is the limit, you know, yeah. Dream big. I totally agree with you. I think, so there's a YouTuber that I love, and her name is Cat Black. You probably know her if you are on trans YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a video where she talked about forgiving racist and sexist. So this is what she said. She said she believes that a person can change, but you don't have to be by their side
mm-hmm.
all the time during that change. Mm-hmm. Let them do their change. Let them change. Let them evolve. You don't need to stick around. You know, and when they you know, evolve and learn better, mm-hmm. maybe they come back to you. And that for me is just very uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that from a Black trans woman, mm-hmm. I think that's very uplifting. And I do respect people who've done wrong in the past, but learn better and actually change and actually did the reading as I say.
That's basically us, because if you think back our, let's say, like middle school and high school days, we were not super progressive. We were like kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot of like xenophobia was happening then. We know better now, thank God. But yeah, like it's, I understand everyone is like, has their own journey. But yeah, it is, and I get that, like, as friends, we say, like, you know, you have to be with them to support them. Right. But it's kind of unfair to tell me to support them when they don't support me and do the opposite of supporting.
Yes.
So, like, are we really friends at this point? You know? Oh, my God. Yeah, that just,
yeah, I totally agree.
Unfortunate, very unfortunate. Also, another popular response is like, what about men and not all men, which we already kind of touched on not all men a little bit, but what about men is very very popular, because, you know, there's women's rights, so there's gotta be men's rights, right? And do men deserve rights at this point? I don't know.
Okay, so
tell me.
Okay, so the thing with these people who say, you know, what about men, is that they don't give a fuck about men. Right. They don't give a fuck about men's suicide rate. They don't give a fuck about men depression. They don't give a fuck about men's mental health, like, at all. They don't give a fuck about men's rape.
Yeah.
So here's something that I just learned. In Vietnam we don't have the law for male rape. So we don't have that.
What?
Yet.
It just
so. Yeah. And that is outrageous to me. Right. So I don't know if this is like entirely true, but I'm gonna link my source down below. It's actually another podcast that I really love. It's called Mario Rant. Yeah, I'm gonna link that episode down below. And she said, this lawyer friend of mine said that we don't have this law yet. So with that information, I have to say, I've never heard like the what about men people talk about that, right? And only feminists know this. Only feminists care about this. And then, so it's very clear to me that the what about men people, or not all men people, do not give a shit about men. They really don't. And it's really sad that, men's problem is being undertaken by feminists, by women now, because not enough people give a shit about men, which is, by the way, patriarchy's fault. Don't blame me. And most of the time, the what about men people, they don't give a fuck about men. They just want to make your life a bit harder for 20 seconds. So my strategy for these people is that, first of all, your facts. Second of all, ask yourself, is this necessary? Is this worth it? Most of the time it's not. Most of the time it's not. Because, if I would assume that these people are not in my life because I've never seen this outrageous behavior around me,
I mean,
right?
usually it's online, right? It's
Yeah,
very
so
easy online, like
there
on
is
Twitter.
a distance between us. There's a distance between me and these what about men people. So I don't really give a fuck about them either. I know I cannot change their mind. I know most of the time it's not necessary. I just need to click, block or delete or something, right? So
True.
I don't engage in this, and
I
I
don't.
save a lot of energy, especially on Twitter, Twitter.
Usually on Twitter when you see it, well, people would clown them. People would like send memes and stuff. That's kind of funny. I love that. Just there to clown the men. Yeah, absolutely on Twitter for that shit. And also, what about men? It just deviate the focus from women to men because like we're talking about feminism here, honey. Like, come on. We want to talk about women. We want to uplift women's. We're advocating for women's rights. And it is very fortunate of you that in the process of advocating for women's rights, men's get liberated. That is a very, very, very fortunate byproduct for you. And you got that for free without even doing anything. So you are very welcome. Be grateful. Come on.
I would rephrase that a little bit. I think, I as a feminist, I do advocate for all genders. Oh,
Course.
and men, they are a part of this, right?
True.
And the reason why we in feminism we talk more about women than men is because women's status quo and situation is more precarious. Precarious, is that a word in English? I don't know. Precarious and needs more attention right now. Women are being killed, especially queer women are being killed on the street. Women are being abused, being raped, much more high rate than men, right? And so that's why we focus on that first. But we also liberate men, and we do care for people of all gender.
We do, but we're focusing on women right now.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate, it's really indecent of you to come and say that. What about men when we are trying to help women go to school, learn, have an education, right? And it's actually very cruel of you to, pick a fight and try to make feminist life harder for 20 seconds because we are so invested in this. We are trying not only to help women, but also you. So I just don't understand when men do this. Do you think this is edgy? Do you think it's cool? It's not, and it's annoying. So stop. Yeah. It's
Also,
kind of like, yeah, and I do agree on the point of when you say it deviate the focus away from women, when actually we need to care about women the most, right? Yeah, and I do agree with that. I think that it's a really good point.
I mean, like, if we're setting the focus wrong, then nothing is getting solved.
Exactly. And can we talk about, not all men a little bit? I know we touch on this, but first of all, why are these people, why does people exist in the first place?
And do
Who
they
are
even,
you?
do they even deserve rights? Come on.
Because I know things are hard for men too, and a lot of men are not terrible people, but enough of them are. That's why women are facing violence and oppression. And why are you telling us about the oppression that we face? Why are you doing this? What do you have in mind?
I think it's just like undermining women's struggle with by just by kind of like lifting yourself up as like, oh, I'm a nice dude. Come on. It's disappointing. Come on. Like, not all men are why. I don't even know how, where did that come from? Did I just pull, how do they even exist?
I think, not all men are terrible, but enough of them are sexist and misogynistic that women need to stand with each other and fight for them.
And I think they have to understand that you don't have to be a monster. It's like an absolute, like, like the other side of the spectrum when it comes to toxic masculinity. Like, you don't have to be super extreme to harm women. You can harm women when you're just being like a little bit not nice. Like, that adds up every single day, every single time, generation after generation, people after, this person after person. It's adds up, and it harms women a lot more than you think. And oh God, men. I can't believe we spent three episodes talking about men. That's a lot of time. That's how much we care about you, men.
Yeah, we do care about you boys. What can I say? I'm gonna leave some resources down below for you to go and do your exploration later. But about the point that you made, the point that your parents made, of feminism being something Western, feminism being something too modern. I'm gonna link down below to three books about feminism in Vietnam in the 20th century, especially the first half of the 20th century in Vietnam. It was a big movement in Vietnam, but for some reason people forgot about it.
Don't know, I wasn't born then, so. relationships weird. And also, I think I want to end this episode on a good note. Like, can we talk about positive experience with men that we don't have?
I don't know. Oh my god, like positive experience with men. Like, I don't know, like when I call a man out, it's always ugly. It's always ugly. And like the most traumatizing experience that I had was also with a man. And I okay, so this is not to, you know, name any names, but, and I know this is not very good timing because it's Pride Month, but a lot of gay men think they are more they less involved in this. They're supposed to be less involved in this, in patriarchy, because they're gay. Like, I do understand that you are oppressed by patriarchy as well and homophobia, but you're still men,
right?
And you benefit from us, right? So it's not acceptable that you tell a woman that I don't have anything to do with this, or you feel like it's okay to tell a woman how to be oppressed.
Yeah.
And I know, like, it's a very sensitive topic, especially, you know, being like a straight woman, like telling gay people, gay men, it's not a comfortable position that I am in.
Yeah.
But, you know, I used to be one of them. So I think I can somewhat understand it. Like, I know, like, gay men have problems with masculinity and femininity.
Yeah.
But that does not make it okay for them to dismiss feminism. And I think it's really important that queer people stand together with feminists and, you know, create, you know, the a better world, yeah, a better place for all of us.
Yeah.
And just for the record, like, most gay men I've met online or in real life are lovely people, and they, a lot of them are feminists, but a lot of them aren't. And I don't know why, because like it's the same system that is oppressing you. Yeah. Why aren't you staying with us, right?
Yeah.
But of course, I'm speaking of that in a place, from a place of privilege, right? And I know it's not possible for every gay man, especially in Vietnam, to be educated about this from school or from the media that I consume. But if you listen to this and you recognize some part of yourself in it, maybe this is a sign that you need to be more feminist. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I might get canceled for that, I don't know.
Well, not enough people listen to this podcast for you to get canceled, but yeah,
so that's a good thing for once.
I don't think I have like anything super positive. I think the most positive thing is, like, someone once told me that if they are saying something inappropriate, please call them out, because they are men in this society, and yeah. It's very likely that they might say something inappropriate. I mean, yeah, I think that's the most
positive. And that is so, oh my God, and I love that so much. Like, yeah, even as, like, women, even as feminists, that is a position that I need to take. You know, if I do something problematic, please say it to me. Please, like, tell me about it nicely, in a respectful way.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the most positive experience. That happens like once, okay?
Like, that's okay.
About all the encounters I have with
And
my.
is that person Vietnamese?
No.
Okay, so
Not Vietnamese, yeah. So, like, there you go. Love that for us. I don't think I've had any positive experience with like Vietnamese men. Not that I, because like recent years I haven't like meet up with like any new Vietnamese men, but yeah, I don't think I have that much of a positive experience, which is very unfortunate. I'm not trashing on the Vietnamese, but I'm
Yeah, I
sure
mean,
Vietnamese men can do better.
yeah, absolutely. We have a hope in you. And
Yeah.
yeah, I've seen, great potential in our generation. But there are like new behaviors and like things that are a bit alarming to me. But in general, I have more potential. Well, I have more hope in Gen Z than in Millennials, although millennials, we are very grateful for you.
Yeah, we love you. We are barely even Gen Z. I think we identify with millennials more.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like I get along with millennials more because I guess I'm old soul. I am a millennial
Yeah.
born in a Gen Z body.
Yeah.
The friends joke for you. Okay. There you go. Okay, so that concludes our last episode of this mini series. And leave a comment down below about whatever, honestly. Like, do you like this format? Do you have you ever had any bad or good experience with calling men out for their sexism? Let us know, like anything, honestly. If you have any
Definitely can
suggestion,
DM us
you
and
can.
let us know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, do you like this format? Do you like the series when we take one topic and like talk about it for episodes, or do you want just like a random episode on something like we used to do before? Let us know. Let us know what you want to hear more, and maybe we will deliver. Just maybe,
Maybe. Okay, so this has been Men Why, the miniseries. It's also the first miniseries that we ever had, that we ever done on here. So we're very excited about doing more if you like this. So this has been just another rant. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Instagram, on Spotify, any podcast platform that you like. Well, except for SoundCloud, because we
Yeah,
don't
we're
have,
not on that.
yeah, we're
But
not on that. I know.
okay.
Yeah, but honestly, you can find us like anywhere, even on YouTube. So let us know what is your opinion, what is your feelings about this on any platform, and we will come to you very soon. And that's it. Bye.
Bye.